Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, and reads as follows. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, in the hour of trouble, when we definitely need God's help, we Christians do not always pray for help. We do not always go quickly to the Lord because of our sinful flesh. We may be tempted to think we can handle it just fine by ourselves, so no need to bother God. Or on the other extreme, we might feel like nothing can be done to help us. So why waste our time asking God for help if nothing can be done? Or we might just be so preoccupied by the current distress that we forget to pray, or we forget to apply the promise of God and his command, where he says, Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. So there may be various reasons why a Christian doesn't pray as often as he should. But there's no legitimate excuse for this. It's a sin when we do not pray to God, when we do not ask him for help, when we think that we can do anything without him. Now, in our text for today, we have an example of a man who demonstrated great faith in the Lord Jesus. And he came to him for help. And he received the help that he knew that Jesus could give him. This account, like every lesson recorded for us in Scripture, is written for our learning. Let us therefore, on the basis of our text, focus our attention upon how Jesus extended mercy to a centurion with great faith. And we shall observe in the first place that a centurion besought Jesus' help and confessed faith in the Savior's almighty power. Secondly, Jesus pointed out the great faith of the centurion. And thirdly, Jesus granted the centurion's request and healed his servant. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. Our text begins by telling us, And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Now this historical account is also recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 7. And in that account we learn that the centurion did not come to Jesus in person, but he brought this request to Jesus through his servants. He didn't feel worthy to come into the presence of the Lord Jesus. That fact speaks to the centurion's humble Christian character. We also learn from the Gospel according to St. Luke that this centurion, this Roman citizen, this Gentile, he was not a Jew, he did love the Jewish people and built them a synagogue. Which is really not surprising that he loved the people of God from the Old Testament, because from the Old Testament he had learned about his Savior, Jesus Christ. He was a true believer in the Messiah, and he showed his great faith in the verses following. Now, Jesus' response to the centurion's request for help for his servant showed Jesus' great love and compassion. We read in the next verse, "And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him." And with those words, Jesus made it clear that he was willing to go wherever the centurion lived and heal his servant. But here the centurion asked him not to do that, not to come into his house, again confessing his unworthiness. He didn't feel worthy to have the Savior enter into his house. He said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." And with those words, this centurion not only showed his deep humility, but his very strong faith in the Lord Jesus. Making a comparison to himself, who was a man under authority, with authority over others. And he could say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. All he has to do is speak the word, and those under his authority would do what he says. He extends this, in the case of Jesus, to the ultimate degree. Jesus is God. Whatever he says must come to pass. So he says, Jesus doesn't need to come into his house. He can just speak the word, and his servant will certainly be healed. So there was no need for Jesus to move one inch from where he was. No distance from his servant would hinder the Savior's healing power. Now, that confession of faith by this Roman centurion was not a common thing. What was very common was people going to Jesus for help with their sicknesses, either for themselves or their loved ones, but they generally felt like they needed to bring the sick person to Jesus or have Jesus come to where the sick person was, associating Jesus' power with his visible presence. But this centurion said that didn't need to be done. Jesus could stay exactly where he was and just speak the word, and his servant would be healed. Because the centurion's demonstration of faith was so unusual, Jesus pointed this out to those who were around him. We read in our text, "When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." There were a number of times when Jesus pointed out when a person's faith was weak. That sometimes happened even with his disciples. Their faith was weak. But what we have recorded in our text for today is one of only two instances where he pointed out how strong a person's faith was. The other case was the Syrophoenician woman who besought Jesus' help for her daughter who was grievously vexed with the devil. And what is interesting about both of those cases is that it involved Gentile, non-Jewish believers. Even among God's chosen people of the Old Testament, the Jews, they usually didn't show such strong faith in Jesus' almighty power. And that's why Jesus made a point of saying how great this centurion's faith was, saying, "I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." But why praise the centurion's faith? Was it to glorify the centurion, as if he were responsible for creating this great faith within himself? No, certainly not. Whenever one is talking about faith, strong or weak, it's always to the credit of God that faith exists at all. And a strong faith, that's only the product of God in the heart. So the individual who has faith, and the individual who has a strong faith, has nothing of which he himself can boast, but must give all glory to God, as this centurion certainly would, and as we must also do. Acknowledging God as the giver of our faith, we thank him. And we understand that if we want to have a stronger faith, like the centurion in our text, God is the one who has to give it to us. So we pray that the Lord would graciously strengthen our confidence and trust in his word, so that we come more quickly to him in prayer for help, with unwavering trust. But if we want to have a stronger faith, like the centurion in our text, it's important that we not only ask God to grant us such strong faith, but remember the means that he uses to grant that strengthening. That's the means of grace, the gospel and the sacraments. So, we should not neglect to use these wonderful means of grace. We should use the word, use the sacraments. Today we're blessed to hear the word of God and receive the sacrament of the altar, and that for our spiritual strengthening. Now, certainly we must confess that we're not worthy to have any gracious gift from God, but he gives it to us in his love and mercy and grace for Jesus' sake. It is a work of God the Holy Ghost, so he gets all the credit. No merit or worthiness in us. Referring to the way that many Gentiles would be brought into the saving Christian faith, Jesus declares in the next verse of our text, "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Again, that description of many coming from the east, west, and sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is a reference to the Gentiles, the spiritual foreigners, who would be joined with God's people. Even though they were not physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they followed in their faith. But what about those who were physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Jews? Sadly, very many of them rejected Jesus as the Savior. And Jesus points out their very sad end in the next verse, where he says, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That expression in our text where it says the children of the kingdom are the Jews, God's chosen people of the Old Testament. The Apostle John writes, "Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not." Very many Jews at the time of our text, and still to this day, have rejected their one and only Savior, and then lose the salvation that God has prepared through him. So the Bible distinguishes between physical Israel, Israel according to the flesh, and spiritual Israel, the spiritual children of Abraham, the true believers. Jesus told the unbelieving Jews on another occasion, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." Since they did not follow in the spiritual footsteps of Abraham, they were not the spiritual children of Abraham. In contrast, you and I as Christians, though we're not physical descendants of Abraham, we are his spiritual descendants. The Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Galatians, "Know ye therefore that they which are of the faith, the same are the children of Abraham." the final, most dreadful end for all those who are not part of spiritual Israel is, as Jesus says in our text, to be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a description of hell. That's a description of the punishment that you and I also deserve because of our sins. What we would receive, if not for the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. Through Jesus alone, we have been adopted by God, made His children, brought into the family of true believers with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation earned for all mankind by Christ, given freely by God's grace, is received through faith, which is created in the heart by the Holy Ghost. Now, in the last verse of our text, Jesus declared to the centurion that his request on behalf of his servant would certainly be granted. We read, "And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour." The centurion's faith in Jesus was not misplaced. His servant was healed in that very hour. There was no need for Jesus to be visibly present there at the sick bed of the servant. The centurion himself had confessed that the Almighty Son of God had the power to heal his servant from a distance, just speaking the word, and it would be done. And so it is with all of us who place our trust in the Lord Jesus. Trust in His power, love, wisdom, and grace. That trust is never misplaced. Our faith in Christ does not mean that we only look to Him as one who helps us with our physical sicknesses. But more importantly, it means we look to Him as our Savior from sin. That's what lies at the heart of the true Christian religion. That's something much better than having one who heals us from physical illness, to have a Savior from the spiritual disease of sin that would destroy us for all eternity in hell. That is what we're saved from in Christ. Such faith is based upon the firm promises of the gospel, never-failing promises such as these. Christ, His own self, bare our sins in His own body on the tree, by whose stripes ye were healed. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Because you have redemption and forgiveness in the blood of Christ, you have peace with God. You are assured of His love. And because your Heavenly Father loves you for Christ's sake, you know that He'll take care of you in every bodily need. More importantly, He'll take care of you in every spiritual need. He bids you to come to Him for help in every time of need, as the centurion in our text did, casting all your care upon Him. He careth for you. When you pray, even if the thing you're praying for might seem impossible from your own limited point of view, never doubt the Lord's ability to help. Rather, follow the example of the centurion in our text. Pray with confidence that your gracious God will hear and answer your prayer, not necessarily in the way that you prayed, but in a better way, in a way that will ultimately serve your good. When your faith is sorely tested, when you're tempted to doubt, just focus on the promises of God's love in the gospel. And let the Holy Ghost, through that gospel, build you up, strengthen your faith, increase your confidence that He will hear and answer your prayer, that He'll take care of you in every need for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.